Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some special Celebrity Big Brother postseason coverage. And today we're going to check in with Natalie Eva Marie. We're going to get patched in with her in just a bit. Actually, it's an interview that was we just got done recording. Myself and Taryn Armstrong talked with Natalie Eva Marie that she has a new podcast coming out on Podcast One, the same network that hosts Rob Has a Podcast. So we were able to talk with Natalie Eva Marie. You're going to hear that interview coming up in just a moment. Before that, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with over 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. You'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. I have taken classes on Skillshare, and I did this a couple of months ago. I took a class in social media about how to use Instagram by Lolo Jones, a noted social media mogul and influencer, Lolo Jones. And she teaches a class all about how to use Instagram. And I highly recommend it if you love to learn new skills, especially skills that you could learn from Lolo Jones in social media, photography, creative writing, and more. Over 25,000 classes at your disposal. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare has a Rob as a podcast getting 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/RHAP. Again, go to Skillshare.com/RHAP to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/RHAP. And so we're going to throw it into this interview with Natalie Eva Marie. And we were getting ready to start and we were getting into some stuff. And so we'll just pick it up with this conversation earlier today with Natalie Eva Marie and Taryn. What's the name of your podcast? It's the Natalie Eva Marie Show on Podcast One.
You got it.
Okay. All right.
That's right. We're going to have Tamar Braxton on next week.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to subscribe now.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm going to have to. You need to come on my show as well.
Okay. All right. I'm there. I'm there, Natalie. Okay.
Yes, because I have a lot of questions for you as well.
About what?
I mean, Survivor. Are you kidding me?
Are you a Survivor fan?
Yes. I actually auditioned for Survivor, I think, like a decade ago. And I made it all the way to like the little sequester part in like the hotel.
Okay.
And then basically got cut.
Can we keep this? Can this just be the start of the podcast? Can we just keep all this?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, keep all right. It. So we're in the middle of a podcast with Natalie Eva Marie, WWE diva and celebrity, a Big Brother star, as well as the host of the Natalie Eva Marie Show on Podcast One. How's everything going?
Really good. Fantastic. How about you?
We're doing very good. Let me just make sure that you I do a proper introduction of Taryn Armstrong. He is our key person covering the daily updates of all of the Big Brother live feeds, Natalie Eva Marie.
Oh, wow. I love it. Nice.
Yes. Daily podcast about what's happening. I'm the crazy person that has notes on every day of the live feeds.
I love it.
Okay. So Natalie, how was the Big Brother celebrity experience for you?
Honestly, it was so freaking amazing. I had such a good time, like from beginning to end, that I really think that I could have stayed in longer. And not in the sense of, obviously, I wish that I stayed till the finale, but obviously the regular season is like 99 or 100 days. And I really think that I could have made it all the way.
Okay. So at one point, the first couple of weeks of the season, that I think that it's safe to say that you were looking like a heavy favorite to go on to win this thing. And Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong, but at one point, didn't Natalie peak at about $8 out of 10 on the live feed stock watch?
I think you did have one of the higher ratings there toward the first half of the game. Yeah, you were in a good spot for a long time. And it did seem like you were probably going to get to the end with Lolo and probably beat her in a jury vote. So we were really looking at you as a potential winner candidate.
I know. I was gunning for it as well. I was hoping that I would make it to the final day, but you know, like in Big Brother, chips sometimes don't fall your way. And you know, that kind of happened in my case.
What do you feel like was the turning point for you?
I think there's like multiple things, obviously, like certain things. And when you're in the house, you know, you have game time decisions to make. So I think number one, I should have won the HOH competition, the tumble and dice, because then I wouldn't have even been on the block, because that's the one that Tom won. And then I had the opportunity to win the power of veto right after that, and I didn't. So I feel like those two competitions, if I pulled out the W, I would have been in the finale. No questions asked.
Okay. Let's come back to the game in a little bit. I want to talk about some of the stuff after the show. It seemed like that things got really contentious in the house between your bedroom and Tom and Kato. Has anything improved now that everybody's out of the house?
Yeah, I mean, there's no bad blood on my end. I mean, I definitely, like, inside the house, you know, you're playing a game. And I think what kind of disrupted everything was, I know that Lolo, myself, and even Ricky, we would have rode with Tom and Kato all the way to the end, except for the fact that Tom and Kato, you know, got really upset when I didn't use the power of veto. And then basically, you know, kind of it went downhill from there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the episode, it didn't show. The night before I even used the power of veto, Lolo and I had told Tom and Kato that we weren't really comfortable using it to backdoor Ricky, considering he was our team member. And Tom had told us that he was totally okay with whatever decision that we wanted to make using the power of veto. And so I was like, cool, like team member, awesome. I decided not to use it. And then that was just like, oh my God, it was almost as if a bomb exploded.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Tom was mostly concerned about with Ricky was that when you got to the five, that Ricky would be in a spot where he would side with you two, and then it would be three against two, and you would stick with Ricky at the five. Is that something that you were planning on doing, or were you planning on taking Ricky out at five?
I mean, honestly, I think that we weren't even thinking. I think in Big Brother 2, looking too far in advance is also not the best. I think, like, Tom, not only did he play a hell of a game, but I think he, like, got in his head too much, and that ultimately costed him he could have made it to the final for sure. But when it came down to a final five, like, in my head, I was ready to just, like, kind of cut anybody other than Lolo, because she was my ride or die in final two. So I wasn't really thinking of, like, okay, once we get there, then we're going to do this. It was more along the lines of, like, let's ride with the five, and we'll eliminate everybody that is not one of us five. And then once we get to the final five, then it's kind of game on. And obviously, if Tom or Kato won the competitions because they were winning left and right, they would have exited all of us out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they were so worried about Ricky.
And you guys were tight with Ricky all the way up until the end. But what is going on between Lolo and Ricky, Natalie and Marika? If we can talk about this a little bit,
yes.
Because I'm on social media and I've seen
Lolo
is like posting a picture of her like in a pool that's red. And she's posting that that this is me finding out where Ricky lives and then swimming in his pool after I drown him. And these were your two friends in the house. And it seems like that there's animosity.
Whoa, I did not see that picture. Or, I mean, I've seen the picture on Instagram, but I didn't see that caption.
I think she's responding to somebody who made a comment.
Yeah, she also called him a false prophet.
Yeah, you know, I love Lolo to death, but at the end of the day, we're playing a game, you know, and I think sometimes emotions ride high inside that Big Brother house. And apparently, I'm not quite sure if Lolo and Ricky have spoken outside of the house, but I know that I absolutely love each and every one of my bedroom alliances. I mean, that's one thing that I do miss the most is we had some awesome talks in that bedroom. I mean, a lot of people, I think, thought that we were like plotting and scheming a lot of the time, when honestly we weren't. We were talking about, you know, our life's trials and tribulations, which probably wasn't that fascinating, but we weren't trying to like scheme and do all of these crazy things. But yeah, I don't know about the relationship outside of the house. I mean, I'm hoping that it's good.
Will you try to mend the fences, Natalie?
I am. I'm going to try and get everybody on a group text so we can kind of go out to dinner and squash this.
You were kind of the person that kept them together when you were in the house. They would get into some fights here and there, and you were the person that kind of had to step in and be like, hey, Lolo, let's be nice to Ricky.
No, totally. You know, now looking back, you know, I've done some interviews and kind of, you know, people have said the same thing. And I guess I was, and I don't know what on earth had gotten into me, but for whatever reason, I was all about, and maybe for my own selfish reasons, I'm like, yo, we're all in alliance together. Let's keep it all together. You know, like I don't want all of this like blowing up. But also too, you're living together and you're in such a tight space. I wanted, you know, as best as possible for everyone to get along. And half of the little arguments that kind of got going on in the house were really nothing to be arguing about.
Okay. I want to stick with social media if we can here, Natalie and Marie. If you can tell us what is going on with Lindsay Lohan, that after the season, she came out and then she's firing shots everywhere. And
I know.
Also coming for Ricky.
I know. You know what? That one is super interesting to me because Tamar is coming on my podcast this week. So I want to even ask her like what her thoughts are, because I know that Lindsay came after Tamar as well. And I'm so confused on what even she's talking about. Yeah. I mean, I'm really confused by it all. So I don't know exactly what she was told, I guess. I'm not quite sure. I'm like, I would love to know the tea though. Like, okay, what's next? I want like, okay, follow it up. Where's your follow up tweet? Like,
So Natalie, so we have an update. So Lindsay Lohan eventually made an Instagram post that said, I've been made aware that further comments were added to my last Instagram post as to appear as if I wrote them. First, I can guarantee these comments were not made from me. Sadly, from investigation, I learned that a past member of my team who had access to my account made these changes. The matter has been dealt with internally. It turns out that we were all catfished.
Wow.
We got catfished. Get Nev on the phone.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy. That's crazy. I don't even know what to say about that.
Okay, maybe you and Tamar could get to the bottom of that.
Definitely.
And then what's going on with Dina Lohan and the catfish situation? Because that there was all this talk about this guy that she met, and then they found the guy, but now it turns out that the guy had another girlfriend.
So that's where I'm confused, because I have heard multiple stories, right? So in the house, when she was kind of like chit-chatting, I kind of walked in on the conversation and I immediately kind of was like, oh yeah, it's like, what? This is crazy. Definitely a catfish. And then I walked out of the conversation because I'm like, that's, you know, if you haven't met somebody in 5 years or FaceTimed or something like that, you know, that's usually a red flag. However, then I heard that the person was like catfishing and had multiple identities. Then I heard that he was real and loves her. And then now I'm hearing that he has multiple girlfriends or whatever. So I don't really know what is what. All I know is that he's probably not the best person for her.
Okay. All right. We stand with Dina. Okay, well, let's go back to the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we know Lolo was upset that Ricky didn't take her to the end. You've gotten to talk with all these people that were on the jury. Do you know how the jury would have voted if it would have been Ricky versus Lolo in the end?
I guarantee he wouldn't have gotten swept. So I'm pretty sure he would have gotten a couple votes.
But who wins?
I still think probably Lolo.
Oh man.
I think so.
Do you know, because in particular, it seemed like Jonathan, Ryan, Joey, Tom, and Cato were hanging out and they were tweeting pictures of themselves asking who they should vote for. It seemed like they were all kind of on the same page about who they wanted to vote for. Do you know if that's true? And if so, who they were leaning toward in that Ricky versus Lolo situation?
It kind of did seem like that, right? But I think the boys were a little bit salty because basically the girls annihilated all the guys and kind of popped them off. That's why I was like, I wish our hashtag was Black Widows, because we just annihilated the guys immediately. I think the boys probably would have voted for Lolo instead of Ricky. Yeah, I think.
What was it about Ricky that people didn't want to vote for him in the end?
You know what? I don't know. I think honestly, like, I love Ricky. He's super cool dude. And I think he just rubbed the guys, I think, the wrong way, because he is very much like, how does that make you feel? Or like he likes to get through multiple layers of somebody. And I don't think the guys really like that too much, because once you start doing that, then you start really like kind of seeing who somebody really truly is, you know? And Ricky also is so comfortable within himself that he doesn't need to be the center of attention or constantly having conversation. It's more along the lines of, like I asked him, I was like, oh yeah, you know, some of the guys, they were just like, Ricky doesn't talk much. And then his response is, well, if I don't have anything to say, I'm not going to say anything. And I totally respect that. I think that's great. A lot of times, you know, we're talking just to talk, or like, not be awkward or uncomfortable or whatever it may be. And Ricky is just like kind of a cool cat. He's very calm and, you know, very sure of himself. So I think that is kind of like what probably rubbed the guys the wrong way. But I loved Ricky. I thought he was fantastic.
What was it that made you vote for Tamar over Ricky?
Well, immediately, since I didn't get to see exactly what went down because we were already on stage, but when I saw Lolo come out, you know, she gave me the look like basically kind of Ricky kind of screwed her over. And so that kind of gave me the initial like, oh, okay. So I ended up going with Tamar. Plus I got to watch a little bit of her game and I'm like, damn, this chick, she played solid. Like basically in a sense, every conversation that she was having within the house, she was just telling people what they kind of wanted to hear. So she was playing basically everybody in the house, which gameplay wise, I mean, bravo. Kind of think that Ricky did too. He just wasn't as smooth, I guess, with the guys. So that's probably what hurt him in the jury vote. But it was shocking that he didn't take Lolo in the end, for sure.
Did you say anything to Ricky after that? Like, Ricky, what, the bedroom alliance? What are you thinking?
You know what? I actually didn't. I got to hug him. I got to say hello. And then we get, you know, having to take pictures and all of this, you know, stuff that I didn't get a chance to actually speak with him to see kind of where his head was at. And then now that I'm out of the house, not only do I want him to come on the podcast, but I want to chit chat and go out to dinner and stuff like that.
Natalie, he's not going to be wanting to talk just to hear himself. That you could have dead air on that podcast with Ricky.
Nah, because I'll be asking the questions. If you ask him the questions, he's going to talk. You know what I'm saying?
What if he says he has nothing to say?
No, I'm pretty sure I can get Ricky to talk.
Okay.
I had multiple like amazing conversations with Ricky. I wish that they actually showed that on. That's what's crazy is the live feeds and then like what airs. I really feel like are two kind of separate shows, which makes sense because if you think about it, you have a 24/7 feed and you're trying to basically shrink all of that into 3 hours of television a week. Mm-hmm. Pretty difficult. So.
How aware were you guys of the live feeds and the fact that not only were people watching you 24/7, but also the people that you voted out were going to be able to watch you and see clips of you talking about them in terms of, you know, getting the jury to vote for you? How aware were you of trying to mind that kind of situation?
So what's crazy about it is that I am a Big Brother fan, and even going into the house, like, I am super aware of live feeds, but when I watched the show, I never watched the live feeds. And going into the house, so I had no idea, which I'm kind of happy about, I guess, because then you're not really like overthinking too much, but I didn't realize that the live feeds were as, I guess, live, you can say, because I was told, now that I think about it, it makes sense. So I thought it was only like four cameras are going to be live at different times, but in actuality, it's more like four frames are going to be live at all times, but you are constantly live. So I actually didn't realize how freaking live we truly were, which I don't know is a positive or a negative, but I'm gonna say it's a positive, because I mean, what you see is kind of what you get. And you can't really like sugarcoat anything.
Yeah. No, it's very live. It's very live.
No, it's very live. I mean, I can't like, there's my husband, he watched all the live feeds, and he totally says like, if anybody that is goes on next shows, if you're like a husband or a wife or any family, like my family, my parents were watching the live feeds as well, to not do it, because it's so stress heavy. Like, you're watching your significant other or child in one room talking or doing something, and then in the next frame, you're watching these people like trying to like vote them out or like get them out of the house, you know? So definitely stressful for family members on the outside.
I mean, it kind of makes sense that maybe if some of the other house guests felt that way as well, because, you know, we were watching the live feed sometimes, and there would be a lot of, you know, kind of smack talk about the people that were voted out already. And we're like, well, why are they doing this? They know that these people are going to be watching, and they have to vote for them in the end, right? But I guess maybe if you guys didn't realize that that the cameras were always going to be on you, maybe that's why you weren't thinking about it quite as much.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that there was too much smack talk about anybody that was voted out. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm not sure. I don't think anybody talked too bad about anybody that was voted out, right?
There were moments.
There were.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Did you ever turn it on after you were out of the house and they were still in there? The live feeds?
Of course. Yeah. Yes. I got to see, like, I wish, like Lolo, I love her to death, but they only showed one side of Lolo. And that was just like this intense, total, like confrontational, like just very, kind of like a hothead, when in actuality, Lolo is super loyal. I mean, she was super loyal to me, and we were, you know, considered, you know, my ride or die from probably day one. And just her like putting Tamar's wig and little head in my bed and filling my little chest with M&Ms, and then she brought me tea one morning. I got to see all of that on the live feed, and that was really, really cool. So I kind of wish they showed a little bit more of like that, you know, but it's a show, so of course.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you about one of the bigger moments of the season that you were involved in. This was when you came to Lolo and you wanted to make a final two deal or a name for your alliance with Lolo.
We have to think of a final two name. Final two.
And that's when Tamar catches
Okay, so let me give you the story how this, first of all, this is going to go down into Big Brother history of like what not to do, and to always check any room that you are in. But first of all, if you watch any of the live feeds, Tamar legit like blends into the bed. It's insane. Like sometimes she is in her bed, and then sometimes it looks like she's in her bed and she's not, but that's not an excuse. I walk in there because I had just walked out of my diary session. And I was like pumped up and already, I was like jacked. It was the first day and I had safety, right? So I was already super excited. And then I loved my room and they're like, oh, so what is your tag team name with you and Lolo? But go change your shirt. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So I'm walking out super pumped. I see Lolo in the hall. And then I walk in like just an asshole, not even paying attention, and basically blow my entire cover big time. But I feel like, you know, I tried to cover it up as best as I possibly could.
Yes. No, you really nailed it with the cover story.
I knew you were in here.
It's just been a day today.
Yeah, no, totally. I was like, wow, busted.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Could you talk about the time that Dina Lohan snubbed you in the storage room when she walked right past you?
Right? I literally was like, wow, did I just get punked by Dina Lohan? And I still, to this day, like, I had never addressed it because I was just like, oh, okay, she's upset because Jonathan is out of the house. But I'm like, why is she mad at me? What did I, like, everybody voted for Jonathan. So I have no, I don't know. And she never really addressed it either. So I kind of let that go. But yeah, I definitely did. She snubbed me for sure.
Jonathan did tell her that he was in alliance with the women and that they were supposed to have his back. So she was probably feeling a little upset.
But see, that's what's so crazy because, so that was, and that was another thing where I'm like, damn, I wish the original alliance that we had was Ryan, Jonathan, myself, Lolo, and Tamar, right? And that was going to be, a solid five. And then all of a sudden, the end of day one, to be honest, all of a sudden, we start hearing that the boys are trying to make an all-boys alliance. And we're like, wait, what? And then we heard that Ryan was trying to backdoor Lolo, and then the power of veto competition came and they did not pick one of us that were in their alliance. And we're like, that is a red flag. Clearly that we are. And then look what happened. Kato won, and which ultimately could have shifted the whole game. If you guys remember, both Ryan and Jonathan had house guest choice and they could have picked myself or Lolo to play. And if we had won, then we would have saved Jonathan and he wouldn't have gotten evicted. But then they didn't pick us at all. So how are you not going to pick your alliance members?
Natalie, how surprised were you to see Tom named as America's favorite house guest?
Well, I wasn't really that shocked considering when I watched the, I did an ET Live interview and we watched the final episode. And I mean, watching it, I'm like, wow, Tom looks great. Like, I like Tom. So I wasn't shocked at all. So,
but you feel like that what you saw on TV was different than what you experienced in the house?
For sure. Definitely. I mean, I think that it just didn't showcase like everything in that was going on in the house. So yeah.
Can you just, put a finer point on that? Because I think that a lot of people are confused who enjoyed watching Tom on the show. Mm-hmm. What was it about him that you guys in your bedroom especially found so particularly off-putting about Tom?
You know what? I think it's like certain people, like when he was put on the block the first week, he was totally another different person, like super different. And then certain people, if you give them a little bit of power, and then when he won HOH or when he got taken off the block because Kato used the power of veto on him, all of a sudden he was like walking around like the Incredible Hulk with his like chest puffed out. And so that is like a little bit off-putting. And then also too, is that we're not at a comedy show. So like if you have somebody that is, you know, middle-aged, right? Tom's like almost 50 and kind of being like, Natalie, want a sandwich? Natalie, want a sandwich? Want a sandwich? What do you want on your sandwich? Natalie, what, like, it, that to me is like not really funny.
They got on your nerves.
And it's just a little bit off-putting, and like how he was like walking with, oh my gosh, you guys, when the power in which Tamar actually had, when that was implemented in the game, I think that was a monumental moment too, where things started to crumble because Tom was so fixated on finding out who had the power, and he thought that it was Ricky, but he was interrogating seriously everybody, making them feel super uncomfortable. Like he did it with Tamar, he did it with Lolo, he did it with Ricky, he did it with Joey. And people definitely were like kind of taken back by it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So he was entertaining for the audience, but that he wasn't putting you guys in the house at ease with the way that he carried himself.
Totally. And I think it's because he's super intelligent and very, like, one, he's a super fan and he knows how to play the game. However, he was super aware of, like, live feeds. So he was able to play to the camera a ton. So basically, it didn't really showcase, like, all of the other kind of, it wasn't like the house was against Tom at all. It was more along the lines of, Tom just made a lot of people feel uncomfortable.
Do you think that there was an overreaction to Tom's behavior, in terms of the sort of anger that went toward him in the house?
I honestly think Tom could have won this game, but he overthinks so much. And you have to think too, at the very end, because I got to watch. So, and everything kind of shifted because his ultimate goal was to get Ricky out of the house. And then that all shifted, and he was taking counsel from Candy and Dina, who have totally went on, you know, publicly saying that they don't even know, like, the show or how to play really the game or what it really entails. So, which made Tom kind of like start overthinking a ton. But I do think people not knowing how to play the game, that would be my number one advice for anybody that's going to do it again, or for anybody that wants to do it next season, is to really be aware of how to play the game. Because sometimes when you're playing this game, like, the whole purpose is you make proposals, you make certain deals. You're like, hey, if you do this, then I'll keep you safe next week. So I feel like people took that as, like, massive threats, when, like, that's not a threat. That's just telling you what's up. Like, if you vote this way, then I'm going to keep you safe next week. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I do think in some instances, there was, like, you know, overreaction a little bit.
Okay. Karen, anything else that we need to know? I know Natalie Eve Marie's got to run.
I think we're good.
Okay.
That's it, guys.
No, hey, look, we'd stay and talk to you. They told us you have another interview to get to. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a twist. Hold on. That maybe we're going to get more time. No, we're not. Man, no, we had something there. All right.
Turns out it was not a real interview all along. It was a fake interview.
Yeah.
And that's a big twist. And now there's going to be another extra power of veto. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Natalie, thank you for making some time to talk to us about all of this stuff. We really appreciate it. Of course, you can hear Natalie talk more about everything that was going on Celebrity Big Brother and more on the Natalie Eve Marie Show on podcast. Well, what are you going to talk about when you're not talking about Big Brother?
Oh my gosh, everything. From, I have multiple guests on, anybody in their, you know, certain expertise in their field, from doctors to nutritionists to just basically every walk of life, athletes, and talking about, you know, what's going on, current events, and all of that and more.
Okay. Natalie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys.
All right, Taryn, there you have it. Natalie Eve Marie.
There you go.
Yeah. Any big takeaways from talking to Natalie?
I was definitely intrigued by the answer that she gave in terms of what she was told about the live feeds going in, that there were four cameras that would sometimes be live. I can see how you might misinterpret that into thinking that maybe there are four designated cameras that are sometimes live, as opposed to what the live feeds actually are. And I wonder if a lot of the other celebrities had that takeaway from what they were told that the live feeds were. And maybe if that kind of explains some of the behavior that we saw in the house and after the house, in terms of, like, what they claim happened in the house. So that was very interesting to me.
Yeah. It sounds like that, you know, other recent Big Brother players, I feel like, have also said similar statements about that they didn't know just how live the live feed cameras are.
It's not the first time I've heard this sentiment. I you know,
should they tell the players? I mean, should they explain this more?
I think that she kind of went through the right dilemma there, which is that, you know, you want them to know what they're getting into, but at the same time, you want to get them as, you know, real as possible, especially on a season when there is an unsequestered jury. Maybe it is better to let them go in not realizing that they're always on the camera, because if they do, then we wouldn't see as much drama, because they would always be nice all the time, or at least they tried to be, I imagine. So maybe with the celebrities, it is the better thing.
And then on the stuff with Tom, I did think that there was something interesting there in terms of that if Tom was playing to the cameras, is that off-putting to the other players in the game? And not even to make it specifically about Tom Green, but on a Big Brother season, do you think that that is something that could really hurt a person when the other players feel like that the one person is playing it up to the cameras and really like trying to appeal to the audience at home more so than to the people in the house?
I think on a regular season, people don't mind as much, but I know that immediately, as soon as the live feed started, we saw Ricky seem to have an issue with people changing their behavior now that the live feeds had started. And that was the primary cause of the rift between Ricky and Tom, is that Ricky felt like Tom was acting differently. And Tom was like, hey, Ricky, I think you may be acting differently too. And Ricky was like, no. And they kind of got into it there. And it was also a cause of Tom creating tension with other people. The whole, power thing, trying to figure out who had the power. Tom saw that as, hey, the show told us that there's a power and we don't know who has it, but one of us does. Obviously, what we're supposed to do here is we're supposed to go and find who has the power. That's the content they're looking for on the show. So let's look at this like it's a murder mystery and let's go ask people questions and try to solve the mystery. But obviously, that's going to make people feel uncomfortable in a game that they feel very insecure in their positioning for. So, it causes tension. And Tom is looking at it one way and they're looking at it another way, and things don't mesh very well.
You know, it's something that, I've heard other survivors talk about with like the All-Star seasons, like going back a million years ago, like Rupert people were, frustrated with him. He'd be, sitting there acting normal. And then the camera guy would come over and then he would really turn on Rupert when, the cameras were on. And so I guess it's something that could be annoying to people, but maybe not as annoying as maybe some of the reactions to it were.
Yeah. I mean, he's, saying that he's a terrible person because of it, I think maybe was, a little bit of an overreaction.
All right. Tarrant, Christoph, hopefully, we'll see what else the cat drags in if we ever talk to another Celebrity Big Brother contestant.
Hopefully we do.
Okay. All right. Of course, Taryn, great work once again, covering everything with the Big Brother Celebrity. The countdown to Canadian Big Brother Canada 7 is on.
Yes, I just saw a tweet by the official Twitter account. They're posting cryptic messages already.
What was the cryptic message? Has anybody solved it yet?
I don't think so. It's just this is the tweet that has all the BB Can 7 spoilers, but bet you can't figure it out. But it has like different sized letters and lots of weird spacings. I guess there's some kind of code, but I don't know.
Okay. I will be talking with Arissa Cox this weekend on our Survivor feedback show, where Arissa Cox was out on location for the Survivor 38 premiere. So we will check in with her. So that I'm sure that we will discuss some Big Brother at some point in that podcast this weekend with Arissa as first week of March, right around the corner for Big Brother Canada 7. Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Of course, you can follow Taryn on Twitter. He's @ArmstrongTaryn. I'm @Rob Sestrino. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.